Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, the host and producer of the show, and I thank you for tuning in and making us a priority this afternoon. While I'm on the mic, I want to thank with deep gratitude my radio husband, Mark Manning, for filling in for me last week as I attended AWP, which is the Association of Writers and Writing Programs in L.A. And man, what a fantastic time. If anyone is unfamiliar with AWP, it is a program that provides support, advocacy, resource, and community to nearly 50,000 writers. They also have 550 colleges and universities. They partner with creative writing programs, 150 writers' conferences and centers. They foster literary achievement, advance the art of writing as essential to good education, and they are a series. They're for teachers and students and readers of contemporary writing. So I was really proud to be there again for the 6 years with the Latino Writers Collective. I'm a founding member of the Latino Writers Collective, so that was a terrific conference. Next year it's going to be in Washington, D.C. for their 50th anniversary. So heartfelt thank you to my radio husband, Mark Manning. Love you. We'll do it again next year, huh? Or sooner. Well, listen, on tap today, we have a lot of folks in the studio. We're going to start off talking to Adolfo Martinez, a muralist, painter, and just really super creative and talented. We're also going to talk to Jeanette Powers, Iris Applequest, and finish off the program with Terrence L. Williams. So right now, we're going to introduce Adolfo Martinez. His paintings infuse the familiar with inferences to culture, history, and place. He creates stunning works. He was born and raised here in Kansas City, yet his Mexican heritage and multicultural perspective arise in narrative paintings that reveal his depth, drive, and continuing journey as an artist. Now, Adolfo began his sofa painting series in 1999 in reaction to seeing a starving artist's sofa-sized painting sale that was advertised on TV. We've all seen them, right? He reinvented these innocuous paintings, the genre, through whimsical, thoughtful works imbued with cultural signifiers and motifs. His inspirations include Native American imagery, which he studied extensively at Pan American University in Texas, Mexican murals, symbolism, and surrealism. He frequently shows at the Matty Rhodes Center, the Late Show, and a lot of other local venues. And he created the first public billboard project, the Bienvenidos al Vaside, in 2007. So I want to welcome my friend Adolfo Martinez.
Hi, Maria.
Hello, hello. You're not always this shy, mister. You know, you've done so much, and the years that I've known you, I feel like I'm missing out on some things. So I've compiled a little bit of a list. Mm-hmm. You've got the Sofa series, and recently you did some work, I think some commissioned work with the Chiefs, right?
Yes, I did a large large painting, I guess, mural size. It was 9 by 12 feet, or 12 by 9 feet. Yeah, they commissioned me for that program where they went a local artist and some out-of-town artists, too, and they commissioned me to do that piece. It's in the clubhouse level. It's across from the banner. They wanted me to do... They have a banner from when they were the Dallas Texans. Mm-hmm. So for the banner, they wanted something right across from it that would go with it. So originally they had all these ideas, but then luckily Sharon Hunt said, "We really like your sofas. Can you do a sofa?" And I was happy
with that.
Can I do
a sofa?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's really beautiful. I've seen the painting, not in person, but from your website. Also, I can say that you've done a series of exhibitions, La Familia. Not only with the Matty Rhodes, but with the Late Show, and recently Mexicans. Current.
I'm actually gonna. I did a series called Mexicans for a show I had at the Leopold Gallery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a series of five, six paintings. Mm-hmm. excuse me, and it's more of a, well, I think a lot of my work is surreal, but this one it's kind of hard to explain, but it has to do with the immigration issue.
Yeah.
And so, well, I lived on the border for quite a while, while I went to school down there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the border from this side, and then I painted like regular Mexican canned foods, like salsa verde or menudo or something, and I have them floating across the border like they're the people, I guess, kind of, but...
Well,
I was just surprised. I kind of got the idea because I can go down the street here and buy those products, so I just thought it's kind of odd that it's some kind of invasion, but it's already... done.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and there's a political message to that, mm-hmm. And you have canned tamales.
No. Unfortunately, no.
You know, that's only the connection that my husband had with Mexican food till he met me.
Yeah,
the canned tamales. Also, I want to mention that you have been the recipient of a Charlotte Street Foundation Award, right?
Yes, in 2008. I won that award.
Yeah, and congratulations, because you know that was groundbreaking. I think for me.
Because. And that was the first time, and I don't know, it might have been the only time that they actually, you know, you have to put together a show when you win it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 12 paintings, and they showed at the Nerman.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that was the first time they did that there, so that was really cool to have all my paintings around there.
Yeah, and I remember curating a group of your work at the writer's place called mm-hmm. Metro Chronicles, which was just a terrific body of work, too. Mm-hmm. Talk a bit about that.
That was kind of broke me in, too. I was doing this, when my car broke down, I was riding to Metro,
mm-hmm.
and 5 in the morning, and anyway, so I just started writing down things that were happening. But I have photographic memory or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when I wouldn't draw on the bus. Mm-hmm. But when I got home, I'd write down what happened, and then I'd draw a picture of what happened. Just, you know, if you've ever been on the bus, there's some crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, there's stories waiting to be written there. You know, with your work, not only do you paint, but you do airbrush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some computer graphic work?
No, not really. No, just airbrush. But I do you know, for the Day of the Dead, sometimes that papel picado, mm-hmm. you know, the cut paper pieces.
Yeah.
I do those.
Yeah.
And, well, there's some writing on the Metro Chronicles and some on my
paintings.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Too.
Yeah. You know, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. My guest is Adolfo Martinez, who is a painter, muralist here in Kansas City. And, you know, you have been creating work for so many years now. And and what changes have you seen not only within your work but with the art scene? You know, because being Latino, coming... having the talent and showing the work, do you feel like that you're welcome now? You're sort of accepted, or are you sort of...
When I got here, I had trouble finding places to show.
Yeah.
And, but I just kept working, and I showed at Matty Rhodes quite a bit. But then when I did that Metro Chronicle series, they did a write-up in the Star about it. And that's when I showed at the Late Show. I had to do 21. I had to redraw the sketches.
Yeah.
So I did 21 of those, and that got some real good press. And then the Charlotte Street thing, and, you know, it's been going ever since then.
You also, I believe, I lose track of time, but you also spent some time in an artist residence.
Oh, yeah. That was a couple of years ago. I did an artist in residence in Peoria, Illinois. Mm-hmm. I was there for a month.
Yeah.
And I liked it, you know, but the the area where we where I well it was like a five bedroom gigantic building or not building house that these people owned on a 100-acre lot, and you know. I liked it for a bit, but it was too quiet out there.
Yeah.
I'm used to the sirens and helicopters, and after a while I wanted, I mean, I liked it because I was able to paint, but you can only paint for so long. And, and it was a little too quiet to me.
You know, and when I checked out your website, which is AdolfoGustavoMartinez.com, I was so amazed by how many clippings and news-related items were connected with your work. And one that I was that really made me smile was that you received press in the Star in 1968 as a 12-year-old. So your work as an artist goes back from your days of your childhood.
Yeah, there was a Freedom Foundation Award, and we got to go to Washington, D.C. And they did a write up on me. You know, artist talent belies age.
That's cool. That is really cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
So, I, on your website, I like at the one of the pages that says you click on now and upcoming, and you have listed, I'm either taking a long needed siesta or I'm painting my visions into a brand new masterpiece. You decide. But you're here, so you can kind of tell us what's happening. Are you still taking a siesta?
No. I'm getting ready for the upcoming show at Matty Rhodes. So I'm working on a couple of pieces right now for that show, and then you'll have to get all the information from Jenny. But they're also doing something with Hallmark,
right.
So I'm going to have some
be a part of that.
There too.
Yeah. So. But now with this work, because I believe it's about Chicanos and sort of our take on worldview in a sense. Will this have your traditional political bent? Are you taking it in that direction?
Yeah,
or is it,
I don't. I try to make it really subtle.
Yeah.
You know, like
you do.
I did this one called El Sacrificio, where it has the same border theme, but this time I used huaraches floating above and just like that, because I think of Magritte, you know, how he did all the bowler hats and stuff. But these are huaraches, and it was hundreds of them, but they're meant to symbolize the people, and they're floating also. They're meant to symbolize the people that tried to come across and didn't make it.
So you know, And it's such a beautiful and beautifully rendered, you know, piece that I think you can get lost in the beauty of the color and the way you've drawn and put everything together. But there is that message. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the people that.
Yeah, I didn't want to, you know, like, make, I didn't even make the sandals bloody or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make it like that. I just wanted you to look at it and then get the idea of what it is.
Your work is often subtle and like that, where you don't want to hit someone over the head with the image or, you know, the message. But I think you sort of look at it, digest it, and maybe rethink it again and again and possibly revisit it.
Well, that's even the sofa paintings, because, you know, I use the Indian symbols on those, and that whole idea was like you said, from a starving artist. And that was kind of my way of saying something about it.
Yeah.
And then people start, you know, like them and started selling them.
Yeah, you know, I dig your sense of humor, because it's so subtle. And
Well,
but
it's
you
like
get
a,
it.
It was like a protest in a way, but, you know, it's still a pretty sofa, but it has all these images on there.
And I think sometimes that the strongest, for me, the strongest protest, the strongest message is not something that's screaming in my face, but something that's a little bit more quiet, you know?
Yeah, and it's I guess it's easier for people to understand it, like you said. I'm not like hitting them over the head. I'm just saying, here, look at this, you know, and think about it. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you've done so many things in a short amount of time, it seems like. I remember curating a show at Park College. Oh, gosh, it was... Couldn't tell you how long, but you were a part of that. So you've been, yeah, it was like Carlos Santillan and Alicia Gambino, sort of markers of the Latino community that all exhibited the work. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I'm just lying.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, I don't know.
But anyway, my point is that you have been around a long time, and people are familiar with your work. So, congratulations for really making some work that really contributes to the community and has a message. Before we go, is there anything that I've left out that you might want to mention? Or
No, just that some newer works I'll have at Matty Rhodes and at that Hallmark venue, and I don't have anything else coming up than that, but I paint all the time anyway.
Do you have a page on Facebook besides your website?
Yes, it's Adolfo Martinez.
Now, is that will people be able to see your work on that page, or
I usually when I finish something, I usually put it on there just because.
Okay. Terrific. Yeah. Again, AdolfoGustavoMartinez.com. You can check out the Facebook page. And, of course, I have a link to your website on the ArtSpeak Radio page. And
Well, good. I checked this morning because I've got over 1,000 hits on it. 1,050, actually. So I want to see what happens when I check it later today.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, my friend, and we'll have you back. I can't believe I've been doing this for almost 4 years, and this is the first time you've been on, but we'll definitely have you back.
Okay.
All right, very good. Well, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Next up, we have the lovely and talented, dynamic Jeanette Powers. Jeanette is one of the founders of 12 Poets in 12 Months, a publishing venture with that she's founded with Jason Reberg, and it prints a new book of verse by a KC poet each month. Now, Jeanette is savvy at writing and performing poetry, building up the KC poetry community, making the Uptown Arts Bar a happening place, and creating her visual arts. In 2015, she had quite a year. She competed in the Women of the World Poetry Slam and was crowned Best Poet by The Pitch. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, can we start off by talking about the 12 Poets in 12 Months, the pop poetry? Because that's really huge.
Thank you so much. We've been really grateful to Arts KC and some benefactors, because publishing a whole book of someone's poetry each month is a very intense venture, and it takes up a lot of everybody involved's time. So I have Jason Reberg. The guys at Prosperos are all just such wonderful supporters of that. And so our point really is that so many poets live on the stage, and they do open mics, and they do presentations, and they do features, and so many of them work with the youth and work with the prisons, and just really are natural community activists, the poets are. But then don't have books published. And in the poetry world, it's always just this vanity publishing. And, Prospero's Books has Spartan Press. And Jason and I were sitting around talking about how we could get more books out, and just committed drunkenly to doing a poet a month, which has turned out to be one of the most rewarding and amazing parts of my life, because every single month I'm working with that poet on their authentic vision. And for like 90% of the people we work with, it's their first book. So every month it's just something really new and exciting coming out of the bookstore.
You know, that is such a great idea. I love that it came out of that drunken thought process, but it works. And tell us some of the poets that you've published in the past year, because this is the second year?
We are in year two, so that's exciting. And I actually have some new announcements for you here on the radio. We are confirmed to do 2017 also. So by the time 2017 is done, that'll be 36 Kansas City poets who have their books published. And I'm super excited this month.
Congratulations.
National Poetry. Oh, thank
Man,
you.
Man, that's great.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's really huge. We're so proud and excited. But this month is Unique.
Mm-hmm.
And Unique is a young poet. He's been extremely active in the poetry world for 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's the mentor for KC Poetry, which is the team that just won the Louder Than
right.
the Bomb finals, which I just want to speak out to what that shows of our poetry community.
Mm-hmm.
KC Poetry collects all the kids in anywhere where they don't have a high school that participates in Louder Than a Bomb, which is a slam poetry youth competition. And so KC Poetry, headed up by Nightlife Jones, Doug Rosenbrook, and Unique is one of the mentors there. They literally just gather up the kids who would have no other way to participate in these national organizations. And not only do they gather them up and put that work in just out of the love of their hearts, but also they won. They're going to represent Kansas City at Brave New Voices this year. And Unique is the mentor of one of them. And his work, this book, is called Monkey in the Grass.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who know me will understand this is not something I say about every book. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best book we've maybe put out so far. Sorry, everyone else.
You know, I appreciate that honesty. You know, there's been, you know, such a huge response to this. I mean, I should say the poets, because
the poets.
Of your work with them. It's standing room only at Prospero's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do limited editions of 100 runs. Most, the huge majority of them are sold out. A number of the poets are financially savvy enough that they've been able to order reprints.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think one of our poets has sold 1,000 books now.
Yeah.
And I'm also just want to shout out really quick to Gustavo, who has a book coming out in May, and he just won a book award as having another book published. We thought we were doing his first book.
Was that Willow Press or Willow Book?
Yeah,
I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, Willow Press,
He was at AWP, and we went through the book fair, and then we
cool.
kind of got lost, and that thing is huge. So he was texting me. I'm like, I couldn't find my phone. But yeah, congratulations to him.
And then, if I may, just really quick, because we're talking about the poets that are out, and last month was Aaron McGrain, which Jason and I were really kind of excited and shocked when we were going through 70 more plus submissions for 2016 books to find that a number of lyricists had submitted. And it just gave this whole new picture in our minds of how we can support what poetry is across the board, not just on the page, not just on the stage, because we've always done spoken word and more academic style poets. And then to broaden that out into the lyrics, I just love that.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, it really does. And Erin was on the program last week while I was away, but Mark did talk to her, and she read some of her work, which
was
really, really beautiful. The podcast is available on iTunes or kkfi.org. Also, some of the people that you've had published was Natasha Ria Elskari, Jose Faust,
Glenn North, Sharon Eicher, Iris Applequist, your next guest
she's going to be reading
second or third poet that we put out with that series.
Jen Harris.
Jen's book came out just 2 months ago.
Yeah, excellent. So what are we looking for in the upcoming year? You said there's a whole group of poets.
Right. Well, we actually got a couple more lyricists, and then we have Monique Gabrielle Salazar, who wrote an entire book as a submission in like 2 days, and it's astonishing. And then she just took a sabbatical a month ago and wrote a wholly different book, which is equally amazing. So she's just a superstar.
She is a terrific writer. And I have to say, as one of the founding members of the Latino Writers Collective, Monique, Gustavo, and Jose, who is also a founding member, they are published with the Pop Poetry, and they were all, or still are, members of the Latino Writers Collective. So I'm really proud, you know, that they move forward and,
it shows
just writing like crazy.
It is. It's just an astonishing amount of generative work that these people are putting out. And when you do 12 poets in 12 months, you know, 2017, maybe we'll start. Our concept is modeled after the Pocket Poet series developed by Lawrence Ferlinghetti out of City Lights Bookstore back in the day. And as they got into the 30s and 40s of their books, they began publishing the poets that they had done before because mm-hmm. it's new work, and mm-hmm. that's what it was about. It's a small book about new work
yeah.
where you can really take a chance, because the purpose of pop poetry is not profiteering mm-hmm. or getting famous or doing anything except for having a 100% emotionally, intellectually free place to be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not a book I'm saying, oh, you have to have these poems in this order because that's
right.
what's going to sell.
Right.
The insides, the content of that book is 100% the poet's final say. And that's not a deal you'll get in most publishing worlds.
So do you work closely with a poet if they're sort of not really sure of an order, or do you just kind of stand back and say, you know, this... Yeah, you can just kind of pull it together yourself. I mean,
every poet's a little different
yeah.
and wants to work a little different way, and that's part of the charm of mm-hmm. working on the project, because you get to really see all those different types. And there's been a couple books that I've been very instrumental, because the poet maybe has never written their work down. It's mm-hmm. all lives in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
maybe it's just on scraps of napkins. It's
yeah.
not typed in, because they're not, you know, obsessed with a computer like the rest of us are. And so with those poets, it was the most heartfelt, intense experience
mm-hmm.
because you're literally transforming confetti into banners.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Now, as far as considering poets, do they submit to you? Do they throw their name in the hat, or how
we
do you do that?
The first year we chose the poets because we thought we'd fail. Honestly, everybody told us we'd fail. And so we chose poets, and the first half was heavy with poets who we knew would be very patient with us because they know us, we have a history with them, they know it's a big new project
sure.
that is on wobbly legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as we gained by the end of the year, and we're like, hey, this horse can run,
mm-hmm.
We did open submissions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is going to be the greatest thing. That was so wrong, Maria.
Huh.
Oh, my. Because then, you know, poets that I love their work, I have to say no to.
Yeah.
And then they say, you know, I want feedback. I want critique. And the
yeah.
truth is, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just that I only have room for 12.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
you know, and we really were, like, we're trying to figure out how we could do more books and everything because we hated saying no.
Mm.
So I don't know
mm.
what we're going to do for 2017
mm-hmm.
yet. I imagine it'll still be
Stay
open
tuned.
Submissions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we want to meet new people.
Yeah.
We want to hear new voices. And so please, anybody hit me up so that I can let you know what we decide and when. And I just want to see everything that Kansas City Poetry has to offer.
Absolutely. Website?
Llamacuff.com. Llama, like the animal, and then cuff, like a handcuff, maybe? So llamacuff.com.
And JeanettePowers.com?
And that's right, JeanettePowers.com.
Yeah.
That one's easier.
Yeah, and folks can, you have your paintings on your website, no?
I don't, you know, there's like, my website is more of just a brief glimpse. Hi, here's me. Talk to me.
A snapshot.
And so
sure.
there might be a couple things. And I did sell all my paintings. I just am exclusively bookmaking right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just sort of one of those rides that
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
Any last words?
Just National Poetry Month. Get out there, Kansas City. Meet your poet. This scene has so much to offer. It's literally 20 years, and I haven't found the bottom of it yet.
This scene has just blown up.
It's amazing.
You know, just in a short amount of time. Thank you so much, Jeanette Powers, for coming on air. And we'll have you back, I promise.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Maria.
Good. You bet. We'll be right back after this. Congratulations to April, who won one of our swag bags. And, you know, I'm sorry for putting that off. I kind of forgot about it because the bags are in the other room. So we're going to have two more bags. After I talked to Iris Applequist, who is a 32-year-old native and resident of Kansas City, Missouri, she's a self-educating single mother. Her endeavor is to carve out a niche for herself that has been rewarded with the publication of two full-length volumes of poetry, one called Blunt Trauma, which is co-authored by Jason Reberg in 2009, Spartan Press, and Breyer, right?
Breyer.
Okay. 2012, Spartan Press, and not to mention appearing to read and discuss poetry on her local NPR affiliate and the local Kansas City Star and several independent online and print magazines and journals. She's been very very busy. She does a lot in the community. Her newest publication, Where We Were There, is a small collection that details the mystifying process of personal growth through the confessional style and surrealist conjecture. So welcome.
Thanks for having me, Maria.
You bet. And again, this is a first for you here on the station, right?
Yeah, I was beginning to feel a little bit neglected.
You know, and I've known you for some time because when I first met you, it was through Present Magazine as a poet in residence.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. I miss Present Magazine, but it was good while it lasted. So that's how that was my connection. You know, with you as poet in residence.
And then the odd instance we would see each other at the Writer's Place or at Press Bureaus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about your latest collection of work.
Where We Were, We Were There is actually, Jeanette had mentioned that it came out through the Pop Poetry series at Press Bureaus. It was the third installment in the series. And it's a thematic work that is sort of, it's lost amid itself, really. Mm-hmm. It finds the author in a state of, like, perpetual bewilderment at now being a fully grown adult and not really having any insight as to how she came to be that way.
I get it. How do you continue your writing? What inspires you as a writer? I always like to ask that question because there's so much around us, and being a mother and a woman and a writer, you know, can you identify a few things that kind of sparks your inspiration?
Well, definitely parenthood has provided me with an inexhaustible sort of well of material. Because as a parent, we're confronted with this paradoxical kind of view where we realize that we're only very small parts of the world and the universe. However, we're this magnificently huge part of the world and universe for this being we went ahead and brought into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so navigating how to bring up a person, not only like managing the behavior of a child, but how to bring up a well-rounded, well-functioning adult it's really confusing. And so,
yeah.
So examining that in writing is pretty, pretty productive.
Now, you've brought some work with you today. Would you care to read?
Oh, sure.
These? Yeah.
Sure, I have some.
Absolutely.
Speaking of parenthood, I do have one that's about my daughter and about actually what I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Impossible. There is a solace in being minuscule, infinitely closer to nothing than everything. It's a comfort that our horrors are an insignificant malady of this organism Earth, beyond what is referred to as time or sound or color or weight. A relief that the reaches of space have and will know life dispossessed of war and affection, and the likelihood of effecting a damage or not, or a peace or not, is wonderfully moot. So then, when my eyes meet the eyes of my daughter, whose universe is considerably smaller than the actual universe, and in it, our love gives off the light of 100,000 suns, a crushing rapture. Our love and our fear of losing it, our devotion to each other, eclipses the depth and breadth of my ignorance and becomes the only thing I recognize as truth. That without her, the universe cannot exist. And I know that is a fact because she is a part of it, a product of it. Without her or our love, the entirety of everything that ever was and that would ever be is literally impossible.
Beautiful. Wow. Very powerful. This is your third book, right?
Yeah.
Terrific. Now, I need to put you on the spot, but do Do you always look forward to the next one and the next one, or does it just kind of happen organically?
I would call it organic, being that the first two sort of happened by accident.
Mm-hmm.
When Blunt Trauma came out, it was mainly the work of Jason Reberg, who is the co-author of that book. He sort of went through everything I had published online and selected what he wanted mm-hmm. to appear mm-hmm. to fit his theme. And so I really had very little, admittedly, to mm-hmm. do with it, mm-hmm. thanks mm-hmm. being all to Spartan Press and sure. Jason Reberg doing that work. And then Breyer, as soon as Blunt Trauma was released, Will Latham had approached me and asked me if I had more work, and of course I did. And at that time, I was pregnant and just doing a lot of writing. No other work to do, so I was just writing and writing and writing. And so I basically handed over a manuscript within a week after he asked me, and then we spent the next couple of years working on it. And then with where we were, I had sort of put my hand to doing a thematic work, and I was sort of expecting them to ask me to do it once I heard mm-hmm. about the project, and I was more than happy to oblige them. Now, though, I'm working on a different sort of project that just is not poetry, but mm-hmm. Sort of cultural writing essays in an essay form, and doing interviews with people.
Now, if people want to contact you or maybe find out more about your work, your writing, you have a Facebook page?
I do. I'm accessible on Facebook. My last name is spelled APPELQUIST, and you can search me through there. I'm very accessible. Yeah. Sure, that means, yeah.
You know, I promise to have you back on. You know, this has been a really condensed show with everything. You know, and that's a good thing, because we have so many people in this community that terribly creative, and all. We want to have you back. Will you promise
to
come back
yeah.
and read some more work for us?
Okay, great.
Do you have any final words for our audience?
To second what Jeanette said, it's National Poetry Month. If you've never written a poem before and the idea horrifies you, I would invite you to try to do it.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Iris.
Thank you, Maria.
And we're going to go to our second swag bag from AWP 2016, 816-931-5534. I'll take the first caller right now. Many thanks to Matt, who is the winner of the AWP swag bag. And thank you all for tuning in and listening to ArtSpeak Radio. Next up, we have Terrence L. Williams, who is a producer at the Gospel of Poets on KPRT 1590 AM and a producer at Local Vocals, right?
Yes.
At KUAW 98.5 FM and producer, man. Welcome to the neighborhood on KUAW 98.5 FM. So, Terrence, let's talk about what's happening in your life, if that's not enough.
Well, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
We're relocating right next door. We're located at 3130 Troost. We was at 3132 Troost. This area is bigger. Two offices, two bathrooms, so it's a big upgrade.
You are you've spent quite a bit of time in radio, because and we were talking in the green room, and you even had a stint here at KKFI.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent. So you have an event that's coming up Friday,
April 8th.
Yeah, and that's going to be at the Nelson Atkins Museum. Let's talk about that.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead and talk.
Doors open at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Event starts at 6:30. It's named after the Gospel of Poets, which is our other radio show on KPRT every second Sunday at 6 p.m. It's hosted by Sherry Purpose Hall.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she is. So we just decided, hey, let's make this a live event.
Yeah.
So we hooked up with the Nelson Atkins Museum, and we're going to produce a show there. We got like over 10 poets performing.
Give us some names.
Some names. We got Nick Cavecci, Brandon Amazing Nelson, Annette Billings, Sherry Hall's hosting it. We got Karis Harrington, who's doing introductions and commentary. who else we got? We tried to get Keith Bohannon, but he had another event to go to, which is cool.
Yeah.
We got an out-of-town poet coming in from Nebraska, Gabriel Tuft. We got Baumgartner. He's going to do his thing. It's just a lot of poets that's going to be on that stage.
And you do this quite a bit through the year, right? Because I've known some of the poets that you've had in the past on stage there at the Nelson. You also have an event that's coming up in July.
July, yeah. I believe it's July 15th. It's also named after another radio show that I produced.
Sure.
This is called The Poetry Scene Live.
Yeah.
It's on every second Sunday on 98.5 KCPZ FM at 5 o'clock. And
wow.
That's hosted by Ed Rollins, Karis Harrington, and Brandon Amazing Nelson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're a busy man.
Yeah, yeah. I try to include all the poets, all the events.
Sure.
And the radio shows are powered by local poets.
And the website would be info@themusicandmorefoundation.com?
Yeah, that's the email address.
Okay.
The website, www.themusicandmorefoundation.com.
How about boldpoetsofkansity.com?
Yeah, that's another website. you do your research, don't you?
Oh, I try, honey. You know, so what will people hear? Just a variety of different styles and
yes. They hear a lot of different styles. Like I said, it's over 10 poets, and all these poets that will be on the stage has also been on the radio show. It's just going to be a powerful event. We're hoping to bring in more than 300 people because the Nelson, it holds 500 people.
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful venue, whether you're there for a production or a poetry reading or that, you know, you can't go wrong being in the museum and the auditorium, you know, surrounded by art.
Yep. You know? I've always said that poetry is a form of art.
Yeah.
So it should be treated that way. That's why I have it at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art.
Yeah. And now, when it's hosted, for each show that you produce there, is it hosted by someone different each time?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Each time it's hosted by a different poet.
Wow.
Yeah, each time.
Yeah. Sherry Hall has been on the show a time or two. In fact, we also did the local showcase with her recently. A lot of the poets that you involve in these productions at the Nelson, they're very they're active.
Yes.
I mean, they're activists. They're political activists.
Yes, they are.
Going to the prisons and Topeka, the capital, to speak there on behalf of mental health.
They're very active in the community, and I'm just blessed to be around them.
Yeah,
and to have them around me.
Well, and you know what, I think I can take that one step further and say that here in Kansas City, we're all blessed to have, you know, again, such creative people surrounding us, you know, in the metropolitan area and actually beyond, because Annette Billings is from Topeka. We love our Annette.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have a pretty big poetry scene there.
I've never been to a poetry scene out there before.
Yeah.
Could be, huh?
I know. I get invited all the time, and unfortunately, it's like, oh, you know, stuff happens. But, I know there's a huge scene. You know, Sue Edgerton. Matt.
Stacia?
Yes. All of those people are just.
I had him on my show before.
See, there you go.
Phenomenal.
He was a part of the local showcase too. So that's another person I need to bring to the program here. So I want to remind folks that I'm listening to. I'm talking with Terrence L. Williams, the producer of the Gospel of Poets, and he's talking about the Nelson Atkins Museum, a live performance of poets on April 8th, Friday, April 8th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Nelson Atkins Museum, and that's at 4525 Oak.
That's right.
And the website for more information, and I might mention, do you have a Facebook page for folks?
They can find me on Facebook, Terrence L. Williams, that's Terance, or facebook.com/KD Publishing. And with me being a nonprofit, this event is free. I can say that, right?
I'm going to kick you under the table if you're not. No, that's true. No, it's true.
Yeah.
So Yeah, the live poetry event, it's going to be powered by the Music and More Foundation and friends, right?
Yeah. A lot of our friends is like the Dispatch Post USA, Air Candy Paparazzi Style Jewelry, Debonair Designs, they do graphic designs.
Even
Detroit Coney. You ever see a Detroit Coney truck? It's a food truck. Big yellow truck. Yeah, they're even supporting us.
Terrific. So, well, you know, and it's good to surround yourself with people that will support the arts and
right.
that, you know, want to participate in helping the community out.
That's right.
So, you know, I we're a bit out of time. I want to thank you, Terrence L. Williams, for sharing the information with us and doing all the good stuff that you do in the community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I also want to thank Adolfo Martinez, Jeanette Powers, Iris Applequist, and of course, Terrence L. Williams. Next week, April 13, we'll have Fong Nguyen on the show, Jenny Mulberg, Andrew Reeves, Jason Reber, and Jameson Bales. They'll be on air. Listen, I've got one more bag, a swag bag from AWP. If you want to give me a call in just a second, 816-931-5534. I'll take your call. You'll win the bag, and you'll go home happy. Thank you so much for tuning into ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd signing off. Honey, I'm coming home.